Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
They made an offer to Alex Bregman early in the offseason and said, here it is. And his camp kept going back saying, that's not our market. Our market's higher than that. And it made Alex a little bit mad, and they would not move. So then the Red Sox were like, okay, well, take it or leave it, and they will not budge. Then Bregman's camp with Boris goes back to him and says, hey, we have a higher offer, and we're going to probably take it. And the Red Sox were like, we don't believe you. If you can do it, do it. And then they said, okay, well, we're going to sign. We're not telling you the number. We're going to sign with a different team. And that's when the Red Sox went to this 5-165. But Bregman was already one mad, and two had a higher offer. And the more they tried to stretch it out, the longer and farther down the road the deferrals got. So Bregman's like, I'm getting more money in a shorter amount of time. I'm going to the Cubs.
What does he owe the Red Sox?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying. But the Red Sox literally would not move and would not budge and really wouldn't negotiate until it was almost, well, it wasn't almost too late. It was too late.
AJ Pierzynski. Foul territory. I get his confused with the Rosenthal podcast. I don't mean to be disrespectful.
No, he's on there.
But whatever
he's
it is.
He's chopping it up.
Now, I do find it amusing to just think about AJ Pierzynski, like.
Yeah, well-liked.
In the Scoops community.
Yeah, get in there.
You're very prominent in the Scoops community, Keith.
Yeah, I am.
AJ Pierzynski. People hated AJ Pierzynski.
Yeah.
And so, on the one hand, I think it's kind of comical to just take him at face value on what he's hearing. On the other, my God, does that sound on brand, and does that sound a lot like the Boston Red Sox, which makes it very believable
to
me.
It sounds a little too real.
So I have a hard time getting past the Pierzynski part just because he's such an a-hole.
Yep.
But
think about all the people he knows. I mean, he played in the majors for like 20 years. He's been in broadcasting or TV since.
If you're asking me what do I think, I think it's true. It sounds like the Red Sox.
I agree.
You know, it's just I'd point out that Pierzynski element.
Like, how about them, though? How about let's take it on face value, right? Let's say he's telling the truth on this. Like, the Red Sox just thinking that they can negotiate this way and they're going to get their guy is insane. Like,
yeah. So let's not just say
what's the
Red Sox.
What's the recent track record on that? How has it gone for you when you, like, think you're going to get a guy? Have you ever gotten any of them?
Depending on how the next week goes, I might be able to make myself available.
Let's not just say the Red Sox. Who are we talking about?
I mean, talk about taking all the goodwill built up from last season, the playoff appearance, the Roman Anthony season and extension, the Garrett Crochet season and extension. There was like a lot of hype, and that's the other reason why this hurts so much for Red Sox fans, is because you sort of teased us a bit with where the team could be, where it was going. It wasn't like another last place finish, and then we're all just kind of miserable and mad and whatever. It's like, oh, the team actually could be good. Oh, the team's actually kind of close to competing. The freaking Blue Jays were in the World Series. You're that far away from the Blue Jays?
No. I mean, they weren't. After the offseason, it feels like they are.
Feels like it. They haven't signed a free agent. That's correct. They've not signed a free agent, and they're not going to if this is how they go about negotiating. And this is a guy that, as far as I'm concerned, wanted to be on the Red Sox. He chose the Red Sox last year out of all the options. He was a free agent a year ago. He knows what it like. He loves the guys on the team. He loves the manager. The fans love him. Like, I thought it'd be an easy, like, they should be a contender. Like, all those things are there. You got to pay them. And they're like, oh, yeah, we were going to. Were you? This century? Or are you going to pay him 13, 14 years from now like he's Bobby Bonilla?
So, this to me feels like a real combo of Breslow and Henry. When you lose out on a free agent and you don't offer the most money and there are deferrals and, you know, maybe a no trade clause is more the GM or chief baseball officer than the owner, or maybe not. You know, maybe John Henry wants to be able to get out of any deal whenever he can. That was my stance yesterday after hearing AJ Pierzynski, like Bregman and his camp, Boris, come back and say, well, we have other offers. And they go, we don't believe you? And then they're like, good luck, go get something else. And then at the last second, you're trying to scramble and throw money at him. That, to me, sounds more like Breslow. Now,
why would you think he has no other offers?
I mean, it's so dumb, I have no idea.
Last year, we know he had a bunch of offers.
Well, hang on. I don't know. In terms of the full timeline, I don't know. But okay. I know why they were probably feeling that way in the last day or two. I thought a lot of his other options had dried up. I was wrong. Yeah. I didn't think the Cubs were still looming.
Okay.
I was wrong. So maybe eventually they felt that way. But at the beginning of the offseason, there's Dombrowski over here and the Diamondbacks over there.
I feel like free agency is so
Cubs
wild.
And all these teams. Yeah.
Free agency is so wild. And if you want your guy, you gotta make it worth his while. And then some of the other details that are coming out about like the deferred money. Like, what are we doing?
Okay, but that, so the deferred money is not Breslow.
That is Henry.
That's Henry.
And but what about the no trade clause?
So
that's another one that's been brought up. So, is that a Henry? That I think is more Breslow.
I also think that's more Breslow, but as I just said, I could see John Henry being like, no, make sure there's not a no trade clause because I want to be able to get out of these contracts whenever I can, like
yeah,
I did with Devers.
True.
But my guess is the no trade is more Breslow. The deferrals and the total value on the contract are all John Henry.
Yeah.
But the initial, like,
yeah.
Good luck. Yeah, right. You have another offer? That might be Breslow, and that is what's scary. Because to me, they never even got to the Cubs offer. Even if Henry came in and he's like, well, fine, offer him the 160, whatever, and we're kicking the deferrals out for who knows how long, 10, 20, 30 years, and that is significant. Like, I got to wait for my money, and it's going to be less valuable. The dollar's going to be less valuable in a decade or two decades or three, however long they're kicking it out. What'd you say off the air, Keith? Like, I'm not Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah.
Like, give me my effing money now.
It's ridiculous.
So I think that's,
and it's not like it's $700 million. Like, some of those deals are so wacky. They're a little bit different. Like, Shohei Ohtani, and who knows what he's up to with all that stuff. But this is $175 million. What did they just give Trevor Story a couple years ago? $140 million? Like, whatever it was, something like that?
It's not that much more money.
It's not.
And it's for a way, I think anyway, a way better player and a more impactful player and a winner. And, yeah, it's not a big difference at all. It's not.
No. Let's see. Contracts worth more than 175.
Total value, right? So yeah. We're not talking AAV. Total value.
I can't even count them all. There's so many.
I have to go. It's not even all on the first page.
I can't even. I mean, you got to scroll. Like, there's so many guys that are on this list that make more money than that for the total value. Like, I don't understand it. And what's the fallback, too? Like, where are you going? Like, who are you in that situation to play, like, we're good here? You're going to take it or leave it. Because we always ask the question. We ask this question about, like, Steph Diggs and others. Like, who needs who more? This one's not even close.
No, the Red Sox needed Bregman more than he needed
way
them.
Way more.
And obviously, that's now clear. But I could. So I think the yeah, oh, you have that offer? Yeah,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
luck with that.
Yeah.
That reeks of Breslow. And that's my guy.
Yeah,
but
your guy's having a tough offseason.
Breslow has had an issue closing. People are connecting the dots. Kravis had a tweet about this the other day. They're connecting the dots to Joe Ryan and not being able to close. Now, look, Joe Ryan hasn't moved. I mean, Bregman actually left. Joe Ryan hasn't gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But a deal he thought he had and he got preoccupied with and he couldn't close, maybe some of that's Bregman. And I also just think the way Breslow looks at it, and we know last year Breslow wasn't adamant about Bregman in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I could see Breslow looking at it and going, Well, there's Ketel Marte. And, oh, by the way, there's all these first base options in Alonso and Schwarber. And who else am I missing for, like, third baseman who have signed? There's another big one, I feel like. Or second baseman. Ketel Marte, I said. There's another big one, I feel
The Mariners re-signed their guy right away. Was it Naylor?
Was it Okamoto with the Blue Jays?
Oh, Okamoto's one. No, but it is another. Who's the Mariners Suarez? Guy that signed with the Mets?
Eugenio Suarez?
No. There was another trade.
With the Mets?
Polanco?
Oh, maybe.
Was that not another one? So anyway, there were a bunch of names like this where I'm sure Breslow looked at it and he's like,
look at all these, look at all these options.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And now the options are all gone and you're scrambling at the last second and you gotta get John Henry to pony up cash and he doesn't want to do it for two decades, so he's deferring all the money and it's like it's just a big giant mess. And I feel Breslow is more culpable in this today than I did yesterday based on that information from Pierzynski. We didn't let him off the hook yesterday. But I think big, high-level, big money negotiations, that's Henry.
Yeah.
But when you're balking at it and scoffing at a player and being like, good luck, go get that money, I don't believe you have it, that to me sounds more like Breslow. And that for the first time, has me real shaken on my guy.
But then it's also like, all right, you apparently agreed to, what was it, 5 years, 165, and you were all set, and then you start coming in with all these other details. So it's like, well, how willing were you even to spend the 165?
No, they're not. So
you were like
Henry's
hoping to be the interest kings again, too. Like you were like into that. We're like, hey, make it where, like, even if we lose out, make it look like we had a great offer and that, you know, they'll blame the player. I haven't heard anybody blaming the player.
Nope.
This is not one of those, like, oh, like, he just wanted the money, or like, oh, he gave him his word. You know, he didn't. No, he didn't. That cut from Pierzynski, I don't know who he was talking to, but he was like, what does he owe the Red Sox? He didn't owe him anything.
No.
He played here for a year. Well, most of a year. He was hurt for a good chunk of it, too. And then they were messing around during the negotiations, and then they lose their guy. It's insane.
Text line. I just picture Breslow playing Candy Crush and shopping online instead of calling guys. That sounds right.
Maybe. What a year, though, from the John Henry smoking a cigar Instagram photo. I saw an Instagram photo somebody posted of Bregman. Right after signing the contract, he and his wife were out for margaritas, and they looked delicious.
Oh, I saw
a spicy marg.
He was at the Blackhawks game last night.
And the Blackhawks were going crazy for him.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Not fun.
Yeah.
Text line says, I wouldn't pay Bregman that kind of money. I can't even remember a game-winning home run. Forget him. He'll probably break down halfway through the contract. Bregman was pretty disappointing down the stretch. He did hit in the postseason once they got there. He was pretty disappointing down the stretch. I don't think he was 100%. And if that's your issue with him, you don't think he's going to stay healthy, I think that's more fair. I think he was playing through an injury clearly last year, and I think that limited him on the field.
I
would happily pay him that money. That's not a crazy contract at all.
But I'm not going to flip-flop on this. I wasn't a Alex Bregman or bust person this offseason.
No,
but I was like, you need to get players. And Wilson Contreras is fine. But, like, that's why I was like, Pete Alonso or Kyle Schwarber, you need one from that bucket, and then you need one from the Bichette, Bregman.
Maybe even Marte.
Yeah, Marte. I put him in that bucket anyway. Like, you needed two sticks, and you added one, which is even below the group that I was looking at, and now you don't have a third baseman. You don't have a second baseman. Maybe Meyer plays one of those spots. Unfortunately, the guy is very injury-prone, so you don't know how that's going to go for the whole year.
You can't worry about Bregman being injury-prone and count on Marcelo Meyer.
And then Meyer, so you know what's funny, too, is like if you're looking ahead, Meyer also factors into shortstop once Story moves on. So right now, like in our projected lineups, I have Meyer at three spots. He can play one. You needed Bregman if they get Bichette, I'll take it, and that changes things a little bit, but man, how they screwed this up is ridiculous.
So I agree with Twitch chat. Alonso was a must have in retrospect. Like
100%.
And we were pretty devastated
that
day.
Oh, it was awful.
We might not have been devastated enough, quite frankly. Like we were pretty devastated that day.
That was a bad day.
And
sad day.
That in retrospect was a must have. I don't disagree. Now,
It's a bad day.
Bichette, and this is fantasy land because it's not going to happen, but if you want to go to fantasy land for a moment, Bichette would have me feeling better. I prefer Bregman to Bichette, so even that to me is a downgrade.
Would Bichette take
no
5 years?
Let's just stop.
165.
No.
Okay. Well, he wants 300, so probably not.
I'm sorry?
He wants $300 million.
Well, so do I, but like at some point, you got to be a little
realistic. He also believes he's still a shortstop.
Okay.
What are you, the Red Sox now? You're like, good luck, Michelle. Oh, you think you have $300 million?
Take it.
Why don't you go take that?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, they're not going to go longer than 5 years, I don't think. right? They, when was the last free agent they signed for more than 5 years? Brezel's never signed a free agent for more than 5 years. Now, I don't think he signed a free agent for more than two.
I believe Yoshida was. I mean, counting actual free agents, not one of their own guys. No, I'm saying Yoshida is the last one they did as an organization. Breslow has not.
Breslow signs 1 and 2 year deals.
Well, unless you're counting extensions to, you know, crocheting guys like that.
You're right, right. No, I'm not talking about that.
For a free agent where you're out there negotiating against the market, they haven't. Breslow hasn't.
No. It's like 1, 2 year deals. I guess Bregman, they did have to pencil 3 years into their books, but he was here for one and then left. So yeah, I don't think they're getting Bobichet. And it's crazy because
me neither.
Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, they're not signing, Kyle Tucker. They're not signing that guy. Okay, you can agree or disagree with it, but you sort of see, that's sort of a line in the sand. But you can't be the team that's like, we're not signing $700 million contracts or $200 million
right.
contracts.
This is why
a huge difference.
This is why Alonso. I never thought they were getting Schwarber, and I never thought he was leaving. But Alonso was initially very frustrating because I'm like, we're not talking about Soto or Tucker or, Ohtani.
No.
We're not talking about that level of contract. We're talking about, like, for all intents and purposes, what's a pretty manageable
contract. Five for 155.
Yeah, it's less than Bregman got.
Less than Bregman. And the guy rolls out of bed, socks 50 dingers.
Now, look, I wanted Bregman over him. I wanted both. But if I had to choose, I wanted Bregman over him.
I wanted the polar bear.
That's the same kind of contract. That's ridiculous that they won't even go there. And that is.
And even our guy Bradford was surprised he got that much money. Remember?
Yep. Yeah.
He was like, that's too much for him.
Yeah.
I was like, is it?
I don't know.
He's going to be socking dingers at Fenway Park this year.
It's not even a lot of money. So speaking of Bradford, we're going to talk to him on Thursday. He's now back. Thursday's at 11:30. He is among, and there's a lot of people saying this, so you know the Red Sox are, not to besmirch his sources.
No,
anything,
I understand, but at least they're talking about this.
You know people who are talking to the Red Sox front office are now saying, well, the pivot isn't to a bat. The pivot is to another arm. So watch the Red Sox on a big trade.
All they got is arms.
Haven't we been watching them for a big trade for years?
Schuble. Yeah. They got Crochet in a trade, though. Like, I'm not going to ignore that. That was a massive win.
Reagans, Peralta, maybe Joe Ryan. Like,
call
I mean,
the Royals, get the Pasquatch.
So, again, let's stay in fantasy land.
The issue with Breslow was he forgot to call the Twins about Joe Ryan on the deadline, so that's an issue.
Let's stay in fantasy
land.
Let's stay in fantasy land and say they get one of those arms. Leaning in on run prevention. No, but is that?
No, sorry.
I'm not going to be. I'll be happy anytime they add a talented player.
The lineup is still leaves a little something to be desired.
How are you going to win games?
Two to one.
I know the idea is run prevention and shutting teams down. Yeah, but I don't feel good about that plan at all. I want another. If you want to go get Cole Reagans, great. I love Cole Reagans.
Are you going under the 87.5?
You need some bats. It has to have dropped since Bregman went to the Cubs, right?
Oh, I don't know. I got
to
look that up.
That has to have dropped. But as of today, yeah, I'm taking the under on 87.5, definitely.
Yeah, it feels like you kind of have
to. I'd probably take the under on like 84.5.
84.5?
What did it drop to without Bregman?
I bet 87.5.
Still?
Yeah, but the over is plus money.
Yeah, I'm under. Hammer the under. As of today.
So you don't think they're going to get Schuble?
No. I mean, if they did, I might take the under on 87.5.
All right. Let's see. Maybe it's moved. Because this is one where you got to do your due diligence because it changes everywhere. Let's see. Yeah, I'll look up the... Because every book has a slightly different number on this one, but it does feel like it's high.
I agree with the Twitch chat. The rotation right now is pretty good. You know, it's fine, as they put it. And I think in terms of, like, starting pitcher war, it's them and the Dodgers 1-2, depending on where you look. So I think the rotation right now, you don't need an upgrade. If you do upgrade it, that's great. I'm always taking upgrades. But at some point, you have to address the lineup.
No, I know. And I like the rotation. Do you think Brian Baio is going to be as good as he was last year?
Probably not.
Okay. Do you think Sonny Gray at 36 is going to be really good? Or better than Giolito,
I should
say.
So that's the right way to ask it?
Yeah.
I think he could be, but am I, like, guaranteeing that? No.
I know. And I think Crochet is going to be nasty, but he couldn't have been a whole lot better than he was last year.
This is the point. Like, there's really nowhere for Crochet to go but down, I would expect him to repeat what he did last year.
I mean, they got a chance. I'm intrigued by Tolley and Early. They still have those guys. Maybe Oviedo's better than I thought, so... Yeah, I don't think it's like a guarantee, but it is the strength of the team. I'm not arguing with that. I mean, that's clearly what they got. But then you're like, all right, now we're going to add somebody else to that group. All right, so now you're pushing somebody else out, or are they going to the pen?
Right.
Whatever.
And the other piece to it, when you're talking about this pivot that Bradfo and others are saying, they're back in on an arm. Watch the Red Sox on a big trade for an arm. Well, that's what they think. But they also thought they were going to get Bregman, and they thought they were going to be in on Alonso, and like they probably think they're in on Bichette, and they thought they were in on Joe Ryan at the trade deadline. How many things do you think you're going to be in on? Or are you just putting it out there to lie, just to throw everybody off the scent? My fear is it's less that, and it's more Breslow thinks he's going to close on something, and meanwhile, the offseason's going to be over and nothing's going to be left. The musical chairs are, you know, they're all filled up, and you're left standing there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm now worried about. John Henry and Sam Kennedy, and we heard some of it on Saturday with Ken and Curtis, like, they're going to spin and lie and tell you they're in on all this,
you're
and they're going to spend.
You're a liar.
Sorry, Ken.
No, they're super invested, but they always have been.
But I just, that... That has been going on with the Red Sox for a long time. My bigger fear now is there's another piece to it. And it's Breslow thinks he's going to close, and he thinks he has all these irons in the fire, and he's going to get left holding the bag. And
yeah,
that is my new fear for my guy, and I'm worried about it.
Also, you know, there's always the case or the chance to. So everybody's mad at John Henry, and I get it. And after Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts and all those guys left, he was basically bullied into – signing Rafael Devers, and he did. Yep. Now, we know what happened. A couple years later, he trades him away.
Yeah, but temporarily.
But just when you, yeah, so I'm saying, so like, just when you think there's no breaking through to it, I don't know, maybe he does kind of respond to public outcry.
Maybe.
And you're like, I'm not predicting it.
Keith, he's done it. One thing that's consistent is there's no consistency with Henry.
No.
So they're like, we are not paying pitchers in their 30s. Sorry, John Lester,
here's
you're out.
$217 million for David
in
Price.
In comes David Price, okay? You just brought it up. We're not paying Mookie Betts that kind of money. They turn around and they get bullied into paying Devers. So is this bad enough where they could get bullied into something?
I don't think yet, but I think like we'll see how the season gets going.
But that's a pathetic existence for us to hope for.
It's tough.
That the Red Sox mismanage their assets so badly that every once and then they throw us a bone because they're like, we can't totally lose the fan base.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
That's a pathetic existence.
It is. No, I think what they're going to just bank on is Garrett Crochet, Roman Anthony. Those guys are going to have to win the Cy Young and win the MVP, and that's your chance. Because the rest of the roster does not really jump
out
to
you. The Cy Young part.
Yeah, I do too. Although Scooble's still in the AL as of now.
For now.
They got to get him out of there.
Yeah.
Give Crochet a shot.
You saw the gap between those two on the arbitration numbers?
Oh, the Tigers and
yes.
I think he could be gone.
Scooble submitted like 33. I think
he's gone.
If he's not gone, he's not going to be real invested. I don't think.
He gone.
Yeah. Not for that team.
Straight up.
617-779-7937. All your feedback there. We'll get to another coaching rant, if you will, another referee rant from the Celtics.
What the hell happened last night?
It's not as good as the Jaylen Brown one, but you'll hear that later on this hour. Plus, on a Tier Tuesday, we're going to tier off all the head coaches.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Mom, I like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. And by the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators. Keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Candidates. Tier Tuesday, Jones and Keefe, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. It is not only a Tier Tuesday, it's also a Tom E. Tuesday. We'll talk to Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, 1/2 hour from now at high noon. Get a breakdown on this past weekend's game. Look ahead to the Patriots and Texans with Tom Curran. But we have tiers today, Keith. We're going to be tiering off head coaching candidates.
Oh, now it is.
The coaching cycle is really starting to heat up.
8 openings right now. It's a quarter of the league. We're wondering maybe there'll be a 9th with the Steelers, possibly the 10th with the Packers. They haven't extended LaFleur yet, so we'll see. There could be as many as 10 openings. So here are some of the big names. We're going to go with 15, 16, 17 names or so that are going to be getting some interviews. Our tiers today, we'll start with championship.
Championship.
Yeah, these are the home run hires.
You hire this guy.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably going to win a championship. Okay.
Tier below that. Give me that.
Give me that.
If my team needed a coach, I'd say give me that.
Give me that. I mean, I want the championship guy.
Yeah, but I don't get
the championship guy. Give me that.
Give me that, too.
Yeah.
Assistant to the regional manager.
And that's where you have an assistant regional manager.
Yes, it is. Assistant to the regional manager.
Same thing. Yeah, these are more so like your... Maybe be a coordinator. Maybe you're a coordinator. Yeah. That should be a thing that you do as a coordinator. You're not a head coach.
You're not a bad coach. No. Just a bad head coach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're kind of the assistant to the regional manager. Yeah, okay.
And then lastly, can't win with him.
Cannot win with him.
No.
This is somebody you don't want really anywhere near your football team. Okay.
Yeah. So let's go with that, and Billy will throw some names at us, and we'll tear them up.
Thomas Brown.
Thomas Brown on the Pats staff.
Yeah, not even a coordinator.
No, or is he the passing game coordinator?
Well, I think he might be. He's not an offensive coordinator.
But working with Mike Vrabel, he's also worked with Sean McVay before as well. So those are two coaches to be linked to. He's already been a couple teams interested in interviewing Thomas Brown. You know, hopefully they're giving him a real chance. I don't know.
Well, let's cross off. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, unfortunately
you don't know.
Let's cross off championship and give me that. Is that safe?
Yeah.
So we're negotiating between assistant to the regional manager or can't win with him.
Yeah, I think assistant to the regional manager. You got to get some of that shine from being with the Pats, I would think, with this year. And it was a guy that Mike Vrabel wanted. And he probably wanted him to be the offensive coordinator, honestly. But Kraft was like, no, we're going to go with Josh McDaniels, which has worked out. But I say we put him in that category for now.
And that's where you have an assistant regional manager.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Same thing.
It's not. It's not, though.
Brian Flores.
All right, Brian Flores to me is a gimme dad.
So gimme dad.
Brian Flores, you know, famously the Bill Belichick coaching tree guys, not great. I don't consider Vrabel in the coaching tree. I know you do. But I'd say guys that coached with him that were on his staff, Flores has actually had some success. Flores and then Bill O'Brien, admittedly, in Houston, at least got his team to the playoffs.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien was, you know, the best of that lot, but he wasn't good.
No, he wasn't good. But... Brian Flores.
Let's rephrase. He was fine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was fine, but he made the playoffs. So like, Flores, I'm not. You can't say failure. He's not Mangini or Patricia or McDaniels or
an absolute
Weiss
tire
or
fire
Cornell
of a coach.
Yeah.
Right. So Flores had some success in Miami. He's not a completely failed head
coach. Well, and what's funny too is like he was dealing with a whole lot. Obviously, there's like a lawsuit going on. I mean, they were telling him to like tank games. Like it was not a great place to be a head coach.
He hated Tua.
Yeah, and at the time, you're like, oh, he's not handling his young quarterback correctly.
In retrospect.
Maybe he gets more points now for realizing he was dealing with Tua.
So I say give me that. What do you say?
I think he's closer to championship.
Oh, wow.
But the Belichick tree thing kind of does scare me a little bit.
Give me that.
He's been the defensive coordinator for the Vikings for the last 3 seasons, and they've had good defenses.
Yep.
I'll say give me that. I think it'll be like top end of the give me that.
Yeah, I think he's a really good candidate this cycle. I just think, for me personally, he's going to be below some other names you're going to hear. So I'd put him at gimme that.
Jeff Hafley.
Jeff Hafley.
I would put Hafley on the same tier.
Gimme that.
That's where I would put him.
I mean, he got Boston College all the way to the top. So he was a great college coach.
He's very well regarded as a D coordinator there. I mean, look,
they do like him though. He's with Green Bay.
The defense looks very different without Micah Parsons. Like I could probably coach a defense with Micah Parsons. But I would put him on Gimme Dat. I mean, I'd choose if we want to rank within the tier, Keefe, I'd take Flores before Halfley.
He does have a lot of coaching experience for a younger guy. Like he's been coaching like right away.
And he has a lot of success. I mean, even BC aside, which is, you know, about as successful as you could be at BC.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good defensive coordinator in college. He's been a good defensive coordinator in the league. So I would put him on Gimme Dat. Is that where you would put him?
Yeah, but like I don't think he's as good as Flores as a candidate.
Agreed.
But so okay. But it's not power ranking.
You also want to rank within the tier.
I don't want Flores, to. I'm just saying
about Flores.
I would
left,
say he's closer to assistant to the regional manager. Yes. I think he's way closer to that.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
John Harbaugh.
That's a championship.
He has to be the top coach.
Championship.
Or at least one of the top coaches. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it all shakes out. But yeah, it doesn't mean he was perfect in Baltimore, but of all the guys that are available, I would think all eight teams should be interested and should be like, yeah, come take over our team. Because he's not super old,
nope.
But he's been there for a really long time. He had success. He won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm. He did not with Lamar.
No, he didn't.
So that is a strike against
him. But Lamar
him.
May not win with anybody.
And I'll tell you, that's true. His next phase is going to be real important for how we define him like forever. Like mm-hmm. I think this next job is going to be very important. His legacy is not secure to me because you won with my guy Flacco earlier in your career. If you couldn't win with Lamar, who's a two-time MVP, and then you go to like the Giants and stink it up or the Dolphins and stink it up, that's really going to change how I look at you. But right now, I think he's the best coach on the market or at least available. So I'd put him at championship,
Vance Joseph.
Okay, and that's where you have an assistant regional manager.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Same thing.
He's having the time of his life. Yeah,
he's the Broncos D coordinator?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess you can't put him on, can't win with him. He is a good coordinator.
Watch him now on the screen.
We could put him on his own tier. No, I think assistant to the regional manager, the guy's a coordinator, and I wouldn't.
But he's a good coordinator.
Yeah.
So. And here he is. Having the time of his life.
Where would you, if we're going to rank within the power rankings?
Yeah, I wouldn't want him.
Him or Thomas Brown.
I wouldn't want him.
Okay.
I wouldn't want him. Power ranking within there, I would guess maybe I'd lean Thomas Brown because of offense, I guess. But like, no, Vance Joseph.
And just because we don't really know. He was an interim coach in Chicago, but we don't really know.
But that's the kind of thing where like Vance Joseph, and I, you know, if there's a young offensive head coach somewhere, like grab him to be your defensive coordinator and then maybe you're off and running.
It'd be a good pairing. Yeah. Yep.
Mike McCarthy.
All right.
I kind of think Gimme Dat.
Yeah, okay. I don't think championship.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely not championship.
He did win a championship.
Yeah, and he's too good for coordinator. If you wanted to say can't win with him, I guess I would understand it, but he had a better run in Dallas than people think. Now, those are talented teams.
Yeah.
But he had a better run in Dallas.
Yeah, 6-10, 12-5, 12-5, 12-5, 7-10 fired.
Yeah, I mean, he was not bad. In Dallas. In fact, I think he had a higher winning percentage in Dallas than Vrabel had in Tennessee. So
he doesn't seem very inspiring.
No, he's not. But if I have a young quarterback, you can do worse than hiring him. That's maybe not the greatest compliment in the world, but I'd put him on Gimme Dat.
Yeah, Gimme Dat.
Cliff Kingsbury.
All right, I like Cliff Kingsbury.
Cannot win
but,
with him.
Right. No, Cliff Kingsbury. No, whoa, no, I wouldn't go that far.
Assistant to the regional.
Yeah,
manager.
Yeah, I want him as a coordinator.
Cannot win with him.
No, stop it. I think he's an assistant to the regional manager.
Such a good coordinator got canned after 2 years.
Yeah, but that was stupid. They shouldn't have fired him. I think that was a mistake.
Yeah,
how does he have Jaden Daniels look like a top five quarterback 1 year? Then Jaden Daniels hurt, and they're like, see ya, buddy.
Also,
hit the bricks.
That was so weird. I bet he was, like, ignoring his duties on the job, like, to go get a head coach. Like, I bet they fired him not based on performance, I don't think. Mariota was actually pretty good. I bet there's something else going on there.
Oh,
like,
there could
be. Like, he was just completely, you know, head in the sand when it came to the team because he was so focused
that
on his next
like
game.
Such a panic move, like, oh, like we need to, somebody needs to pay for this season because we were so surprisingly good the year before and then really bad this year. We're going to fire the offensive coordinator. But I think that's a mistake. I think if somebody else brings him in, same thing, flip it, right, with Vance Joseph. Like if a defensive head coach takes over somewhere and they grab him, I think they'll be in good shape.
Okay. Who else?
Clint Kubiak.
It's a hard one. He was awful last year in New Orleans and then he's been good this year. With Seattle, you know, like JSN, like fully broke out.
Yeah,
Darnold was pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't really want him, though, as a coach. Like, I wouldn't feel great if he's my hire.
He gets the Kyle Shanahan shine, right, yep. From 23. He was with the Niners as the passing game coordinator. Yeah, it didn't do a whole lot with the Saints.
Is he giving that or assistant to the regional manager?
And that's where you have an assistant regional manager.
That's where
assistant to the regional manager.
Same thing.
That's where I personally would put him, but I think he's going to get a job, so I think he has some value.
So I'll answer it because we're doing the show today. But if the Seahawks light it up and Sam Darnold has like this great playoff performance.
Great point.
Then I think he shoots to the top.
Great point. We might be ranking this a week too early for him specifically.
But if he struggles.
If they do what I think they're going to do.
Oh, if he looks like Sam Darnold in the playoffs did a year ago, they're like, all right, even, you know, Clint Kubiak can only do so much.
Right.
So where are we putting him now? You want to put him
I'd put him on assistant to the regional manager, but you we can break a tie if you want.
No, that's fine. Okay. That's fine.
Mike McDaniel.
Is everybody going to be a coordinator?
Yeah. No, not everybody. Not everybody.
Do we have no one on Can't Win With Them yet? That's not where I would put that's not where I would
not
put
yet.
I'm just curious.
Not
okay.
yet.
All right.
We're working our way through the list.
Mike McDaniel is assistant. Yeah, he'd be a good coordinator.
He'd be a great coordinator.
And that's where you have an assistant regional manager.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Same thing.
Yeah, he could be the Dwight Schrute somewhere.
Yeah, too much of a spineless squid to be a head coach. Okay.
Yeah.
Jesse Minter.
Okay, Jesse Minter, I think, is gimme that.
Gimme that.
The defense was really good.
Gimme that.
I think so, too.
I think that's a good place for him. I think his defense acquitted themselves nicely in that playoff game.
So, like, if he goes, say, like, the Dolphins, who need somebody, and the Dolphins get Jesse Minter, and then they get, like, Cliff Kingsbury with them.
It's a good match.
Like, okay,
that's good,
now you got something
That's
there.
A good fit. Yeah, I agree. Or, as we said earlier, Flores, those would be the right kind of fits there. Yep. Okay, who else?
Matt Nagy.
Cannot win with him.
There we go.
I couldn't believe when I saw his name pop up again in a bunch of spots. I'm like, what are we doing? Why would you want Matt Nagy?
That was an empty tier. By the way, I thought I saw this name last night. Well, I might need to add a name as we go along, but let's see if we get to him. Okay, Matt Nagy is can't win with him. I can't believe he's getting interviews.
Yeah.
He don't even call the plays in Kansas City.
I didn't realize he made the playoffs twice in Chicago. Now, one of those years they were 8-8.
Yeah.
And he's 0-2. He's 0-2 in the playoffs. Yeah, I think that was the year that he was the Nickelodeon Valuable Player, I think.
Can't win with him. That's where he goes.
Yeah, Matt Nagy. Yeah. See you later.
Robert Saleh.
Same.
Oh, you got him that low?
Oh, I guess he is at least a decent coordinator.
I think he can coordinate a defense.
Yeah,
that's
fair.
All right.
And that's where you have an assistant regional manager.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, you're more coordinator than anything, but I feel like you can't win with that guy.
No, I don't want him, but yeah.
Okay.
Chris Shula.
What are you doing with Chris Shula? I saw his name everywhere. People like Chris Shula. Now, again, he's with the Rams. The Rams don't just get offensive coordinator's jobs. They've gotten defensive coordinator's jobs, too. So he's been the defensive coordinator the last 2 years with the Rams.
I mean, I guess by default, give me that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because at least he's a little bit unknown in that part. Like, there's a little bit of, he hasn't failed as a head coach.
I think him and Minter are the same, although I guess we're being a little harsh on Clint Kubiak when you look at it. But I don't fully trust anything that's going on in Seattle.
No.
Those guys should all be close. Yeah, I'd put Shula, give me that.
Right. Give me that.
Steve Spagnuolo.
I mean, he has to be assistant to the regional manager.
100%. These guys are like the face of it.
These guys are all just coordinators.
And that's where you have an assistant regional manager.
Assistant to the regional manager.
I didn't realize this exercise was going to go this way, but yeah, they all are just coordinators. Well, you have John Harbaugh and coordinators. That's what we've come up with.
And like a few first hot
That's it.
Well, look, there's a few more names, Keith.
Oh, yeah, there are.
Who else we got?
Kevin Stefanski.
I can't say championship,
no,
can you?
No, but
definitely
give me that.
Yeah, definitely give me that.
You know, he was a good coach in Cleveland. Now, you know, he's going to have to really validate that by going to another job that he's a good head coach elsewhere. Because this year did not go well.
Yeah.
But I think he's gimme that. I think he's a highly sought-after candidate. Gimme that.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick.
Ooh. Okay.
Cannot win with him.
Okay. Well, I'd agree with that.
There might be something else. I mean, he might need his own tier. I don't think it's fair to put him on a Matt Nagy tier. Now, he might be below Matt Nagy at this point.
What are you proposing?
Not talking about this?
We're not talking about this. Yeah.
Very famous interview that he did.
Those are most of the owners when it comes to Bill Belichick getting interviews. We're not even going there, guys.
So do you think there's any kind of behind the scenes, you can't tell anybody, we won't tell anybody, any kind of communication with NFL teams, 8 openings and Belichick?
No.
No, I bet there's some sort of back channeling going on with Bill so plugged in that I bet there's some kind of back channeling just as like, you know,
but they're
in good faith. Look, we're gonna. I'm friendly with Bill, or so and so in the ownership group, or in the front office is friendly with Bill. It's not going to be an official interview, but we'll meet with him because the man's desperate and thirsty for a job. So we'll meet with him. But yeah, I could see some back channeling like that going on, or
do any of the teams,
or talking to like Bill's agent or something about it. Like, I could see something like that, but he's not going to get a real interview because it's embarrassing for him to actually interview like he did with the Falcons and not get the job.
Is there any of the teams that even make any sense? So let me just rip through them real quick. Would the Ravens reach out to Bill? Would the Giants?
I think that's the kind of team I think through back channeling would. Yes.
Giants could.
Yeah.
Titans?
No.
No, there's no reason.
He's got a place in Tennessee. He'd take the job, but no.
Raiders. I feel like
Brady's another one who would do
Brady's
it.
Brady's there.
Yep.
But the Pete Carroll thing, I think, really throws it off.
No, they won't
like,
hire him.
They won't hire him. But like, but Brady, the Brady connection. So the Giant connection, and the Brady connection.
If Bill's like, I'm interested in the job, would Brady talk to him, or would he talk to Bill's agent or something?
Yeah.
Or yeah, they would. Yeah, I think.
But
that's
he's got to be kind of afraid and gun shy. Like, if this gets out,
no chance he gets the job. But
no. Yeah. Browns.
No.
He basically won the Ravens that Super Bowl after coaching the Browns. No, the Browns bring him back.
Not them.
30 years later. Cardinals, no. Falcons, obviously, no.
Totally out.
And Dolphins.
No.
Yeah, so at least,
Dolphins
though,
would be interesting, though. I forget who floated this.
It'd be amazing. In the division?
Okay, not only that, he goes and sets the wins record for the Dolphins?
Oh, yeah, the Shula thing. Oh, yeah, so they won't actually probably
they
do
probably
it. They probably care too much
but
about
that,
it.
That would be amazing if they did.
So, yeah, he's got to hold his breath for the Giants or the Raiders to call him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, I think we missed one name.
He'd be great with Jackson Dart.
I think we missed one name, Keith.
For coaching candidates?
Yes.
Who do you got?
What about Josh McDaniels?
Nobody's coaching him.
Okay, so don't we put him on?
Oh, can't win with him.
Cannot win with
him. That's where I'd put him.
Yeah, I'd put him there too.
Wasn't Jason Garrett also getting interviews?
Ooh.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, put Jason Garrett on there.
Let's fill up that tier a little bit.
Right, yeah, like
Jason Garrett
Jason
goes there too.
Jason Garrett and Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. You're not winning anything with those
Garrett.
Guys.
He was the lone voice picking the Chargers though on Sunday. I give him credit for standing alone. Now, he's wrong. He proved to be wrong.
Jason Garrett, I think, is a bum head coach, but that's another one where if you look at his tenure in Dallas, it's actually probably not as bad as you remember.
Yeah, but it's the same stuff. It's like they had a ton of talent. They won some games, no playoff games. They would never win playoff games.
No, they wouldn't.
Ever.
Okay.
They're like the Steelers. They're the NFC Steelers.
I think
big fancy logo. Everyone's like, oh, remember how good they used to be? Oh, I remember. And then they would get there and they would lose.
But some of that.
He actually had one season under 500 there.
Yeah, I'm saying.
They're the NFC Steelers.
He was Jeff Fisher, basically. He was 8-8 the whole time.
What was his playoff? Was his playoff record the same as Vrabel in Tennessee? I think he was 2-3 or something like that. So, I mean, McCarthy and Garrett.
Did he win games?
I thought so when I looked it up. Maybe. Because when he emerged in the coaching cycle a week or so ago, I was laughing at it.
Looks like he was 2-3.
Yeah. It was the same as Vrabel. So, look, Dallas had way more talent, but
no conference championship, so that's a difference.
Nope, but he won playoff games in multiple runs. Vrabel did it all in one run.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess there's two ways to look at that. But anyway, yeah, you're not winning with him. I'm not trying to argue him too high.
No.
I just think that tenure is probably a little better than you remember is all I'm saying. Okay, what are the tiers?
All right, so the tiers, we have the championship tier for the coaching, the potential coaching candidates out there. John Harbaugh alone on the top tier.
That sounds right.
Give me that. Brian Flores, Jeff Hafley, Mike McCarthy, Jesse Minter, Chris Shula, Kevin Stefanski.
Okay, pretty good.
The assistant to the regional manager, Thomas Brown, Vance Joseph, Cliff Kingsbury, Clint Kubiak, Mike McDaniel, Robert Saleh, Steve Spagnuolo.
It's a crowded tier, but yeah. I think it's accurate. Is.
Can't win with them. Matt Nagy, Josh McDaniels, Jason Garrett.
Good. Couple of late entries there to fill that one up.
And not talking about this, Bill Belichick. Pretty good.
Honestly, perfect.
Pretty good tier. So Terps back in the shop cooking that one up and should be available on Twitter and Instagram shortly.
All right. Check it out at Jones and Keefe, as Keefe just said. Twitter and Instagram, those are the tiers brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. It is a Tier Tuesday. It's Tommy E Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston at high noon. We'll get to another Celtics rant about the refs. This isn't as good as Jalen.
No.
But it's worth getting to.
Might not cost him $35,000 like Jalen.
Nah, it might cost him something.
Yeah.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We'll get to it next. Celtics fall last night to Indiana. Just the Pacers' 9th win of the year. I think that got them out of last place in the East, if I'm not mistaken. So a bad loss for the Celtics tonight, despite no Jaylen Brown. Like, you should still beat that team.
I mean, right. No Jaylen Brown. You're like, okay, but the Pacers? The Pacers without Haliburton are unreal. Like, they are so bad.
I think, yeah. I mean, and I know they lost to him head-to-head last night, but I think it's one of the greatest looks for Missoula, who we're going to get to here, is that, you know, you look at a guy like Rick Carlisle, who I think is a good coach.
Yeah, but, like, good Lord.
They lose Haliburton, and they're among the worst teams in the league. Missoula loses Tatum, and they really haven't fallen off all that far.
And now, I know
that doesn't sound as good when you lose to him head-to-head last night.
But, like, they also they lost Miles Turner, that some people will point out.
But then the Celtics lost Porzingis and Holiday and a million other Horford.
Right, they lost way more. And so, like, Pascal Siakam has been an all-star in the NBA. Mathurin, Nembhard, Nesmith all played on their playoff teams. And I know I think Nesmith's missed some games with injury, but, like, it's not like they lost every player.
Right.
So, yeah, that's pretty bad. And they have the worst record in the Eastern Conference.
So, late in the game, Siakam gets the go-ahead shot from 7 feet out, 6 seconds left, to put the Pacers up 98-96. Derek White had just tied the game, and then he misses a potential go-ahead three in the final seconds of the game. And so, the Celtics lose. And after the game, a game in which Jaylen Brown did not play, where he was fined, $35,000 earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Worth every penny, I'd say.
Calling out the refs. Yeah, it was a good rant.
Real strong
rant.
Yeah,
I liked it.
After he was already fined earlier in the day, Joe Mazzulla decides to do this after the game.
Give yourself the chance to win, I guess. Take us through the last couple of sessions.
A legal screen.
What'd you say?
A legal screen.
Illegal screen.
A legal screen.
What fell apart to get you guys
behind, and then how were you able to
get
that? A legal screen.
What do you mean by that? What do you want people to know?
A legal screen.
Would you like to say anything else?
A legal screen.
Okay. Nice try by Abby. Great try.
I'll give her.
Here are all the questions.
Yeah.
I'll be Abby Keefe. You be Joe Mazzulla.
All right, great. I can do this.
Take us through the last couple of possessions.
Illegal screen.
What'd you say?
Illegal screen.
Illegal screen?
Illegal screen.
What fell apart to get you guys behind?
Illegal screen.
What do you want people to know about that?
Illegal screen.
And is there anything else you'd like to say?
Illegal screen. So that'll be known as the illegal screen press conference.
That was the whole press
where
conference.
Where all he said, like, basically that is now the I'm just here so I won't get fined or the ball don't lie. That is now put it up there, right?
So
Illegal screen press conference?
Why is he doing that?
You lost to a team that had 8 wins coming into the night, and you put it, you boil it all down to an illegal screen?
Why is he doing that? So it's such a loser's lament. And I'd say the same thing about Jalen. Turp pointed this out. This is the third game in a row. Jalen bitched about the refs on Friday night. Who'd they beat on Friday? I don't even remember anymore.
Raptors.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bitched about it. Bitched about it after the San Antonio game, got fined $35,000, and now Mazzulla does this. So,
no, but Jalen had a full breakdown, and he talked about like the free throw discrepancy. He talked about, you know, going to the basket. He talked about calls. He talked about it happens all the time, like big games, and you can agree or disagree with him, but he at least discussed it. Joe Mazzulla is just being a dink to all these reporters. They're just trying to get an answer out of
him. Why? Do you think he's that mad about the illegal screen at the end of the game, or is this like solidarity with Jalen? Like the officials are out to get us, and, you know, Jalen said
maybe it's a message to the team.
Curtis, all them dudes, was terrible tonight.
Curtis and all them dudes, it's terrible tonight. Like, that's way better. It is. It's better than this.
And Jalen said it happens every time they play a good team. What's your excuse last night, Jalen? That was a horrible team.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're the worst team in the league, some could say.
So, all I would say about this is none of this is going to help you with the refs. Like, it might feel good getting it off your chest.
No.
It's like arguing with a Twitter egg, Keith. Yeah. It feels real good when you hit send.
Yeah, smoked them.
Or
arguing with Gronk.
That's true.
Dude, well, Gronk can take a hike.
No, there's something to that.
I already mousetrapped Gronk a few times.
Yeah, I
own Gronk.
I think that...
Keith won, Gronk zero.
Move over, Elon.
Yeah.
That's Keith's company now.
Yeah.
No, but it's like hit and send. On a tweet to a Twitter egg. It feels real good when you send it, and then you're like, I'm getting nothing out of this. This is what the Celtics are going to get. It feels real good when you hit send on your rant about the refs, your illegal screen rant.
The illegal screen rant.
Curtis and all them dudes. I don't get any calls. It's not going to help you at all with the refs, so I hope they know what they're getting into. This is just going to be, you know, like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Keep pitching about the refs. You're going to get zero benefit of the doubt.
No, I don't think it's going to help you. And he was having, and still is having, a really good season. They've hit a little bit of a bump in the road here. They've lost 3 out of their last 4. Road trip continues. You got Miami, Atlanta, Detroit. So a couple of good ones on this.
A couple of nice games. Yeah. That's true. And it's as you said, they're hitting the road.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you're really on to something that Joe might be a serial killer.
Yeah, I mean that's
we just said he talks like one.
We were on that like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I feel like we've been on.
I was on that game 1 when he was chewing his gum like an absolute maniac.
It was a real indication.
That was intense.
That something was off.
Yeah.
617-779. 793-7, not as good as the Jalen rant the day before or a couple of days before, but Celtics are consistent when it comes to crying about the refs. More of your thoughts coming up. We'll get back into the matchup with the Patriots and the Texans Sunday at 3 o'clock. It is Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday, every Tuesday at high noon. It's next.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.